photo wrap.
It's sort of like a photo.
It's like Hipstamatic, Instagram. There's a bunch of them.
I like Instagram. You can choose who to follow, so you kind of screen out.
Do you use the app on your phone?
Uh-huh.
So are you one of the people that fussed at the new filters?
No, because I was sort of random with what I used. No. But there are some people who...
Says the artist.
It was this one guy who, he's figured out how to work with the new filters, but all his photos were taken using the same combination, so when they changed filters, it really kind of...
Munged up his...
His look. Because a lot of people are going for looks, and...
Yeah.
And people are putting, what do you call it, like little signature things, like...
Oh, really? So they're, like, creating styles by applying filters in a particular sequence?
Yeah, this guy's stuff is beautiful. Then you go to Korea, but it's...
I've got a friend up in the Sierras who does mock HDR processing out of his iPhone.
Wow. Mm-hmm.
He gets some really wild stuff. And a friend who is using professional camera gear, who was in Oklahoma City and is now back in Kentucky, who's been experimenting with HDR stuff a lot lately, and I fussed at him the other day because he's been taking it lately a lot more to the unrealistic and the Earth doesn't look like that phase.
Yeah.
They're fascinating photographs, but the saturation, contrast, and balance is just wrong. It's like there's nothing about it that is how I see the world, you know. And a true HDR image should look perceptually the way we see the world. It shouldn't look exaggerated.
I don't really agree. Photography is the photographer's view of the world. Not
well, that's what I said. The true HDR is supposed to balance out things to represent the way we psychologically will adjust for color and light balance. And most people do HDR in the super saturated, high contrasty thing, you know, where they flatten out the whites and they darken the blacks and then they super pump up the colors. And it's fascinating to look at. They're beautiful images. But then you get movies, you know, like 300 and Sparta that are done in this HDR style, and it's like they kind of look like CGI. They don't look real. You know, it's not the way that we perceive the world at all. It's a fascinating visual, but it's not a real visual. Okay, so Mitch pointed out that the New York Times has, this is one of their calculators. They've done some really cool stuff. I don't know if you follow their info labs or not. Excuse me, their infographics. This is one that they did that's an interactive calculator for, is it better for me to rent or own? And just taking a look at basically asking you a few key questions. How much do you pay in rent? How much is the house you would like to buy? How much is your down payment? What's your mortgage rate? And what's the tax rate for where you are? And then it just calculates, assuming a 30-year fixed rate mortgage. And basically, you've got two states, right? That if the majority of this graph is orange, then it's better to buy. And if the majority is that blue-gray color, then it's better to rent. So in this particular example, you know, if the annual home price change increases by 2% and your annual rent goes up by 3%, then it's better to buy. If they go up by the same amount, it's still better to buy. But you can see a $250,000 house, $50,000 down, and so on. For the most part, for the first 2 years, renting is better, but after the second year, and from year 2 to year 30, it is financially better to buy than to continue renting. So it's a great interactive calculator because as I change these things, like, well, what if I were only paying $900 in rent? Now, even with annual rent increases, it's going to be cheaper over the next 30 years for me to rent than to buy. So is it worth my getting into the housing market for a $250,000 house when I can rent cheaper than I could own it for the life of the mortgage, right? Now, I don't know if it takes I'm sure it takes into account things like the tax benefits of a mortgage interest write-off and stuff like that. But, you know, you can see things like how much does my house price have to change on an annual basis before it really starts to become better. So like the housing market turns around and my house increases in value 5% a year, now suddenly renting after 3 years is no longer my best option and it would be better to buy. So it might cost me more in the short term, but in the long term, my house is going to be worth more than I would have been paying in rent. So great example of a calculator. As I change the values, it updates. We've got sliders. We've got a key up here. Sorry, I'm going to look at this. I can mouse better. We've got a key. We've got sliders. We've got text inputs. We could think about how this could be done. Like mortgage rate could also be a controlled input, right? There's a minimum value and a maximum value that we would put in. Like theoretically, I suppose I could put in my interest rate is 99%. Right? And it corrects that. Look, I put in 99 and it said no, 50. That's the maximum amount, 50% interest. So there's caps, but it's not communicated to me what the caps are. So let's go back and put in 4 and it likes that. Annual property taxes is probably not going to allow me to put in 99%. Nope, 50%. So there's a cap on that one too. I would never buy a place that had 99% taxes. I don't remember what it was originally, so 1.5 is close enough. Put more money down and it doesn't even make that much difference. Wow. 50,000 versus 100,000 down, it did almost nothing to that calculation. So keep that 50,000 in cash and buy a nice bedroom set or redo the kitchen and up the value of the house instead of putting down a bigger down payment. Right? So it's stuff like that that we can get out of an interactive calculator. Imagine if we did this in a step-by-step, tab-by-tab, form field-based experience like the retirement calculator. We wouldn't be able to do the scenario play that we can get out of something like this. Granted, there's fewer data points that are on here, but we also have this really nice breakdown down below of what's going on, right? So it's not just the graph, it's actually telling us, here's what's going on with mortgage, with principal and interest over time, property taxes, utilities, renovations. So there are assumed costs that are calculated in this. Selling costs, lost opportunity, purchase. So this is easy. If you stay in the home for 5 years, buying is better. It's going to cost you $8,457,000 less than renting, an average savings of almost $1,700 a year. So there's a whole little summary tabular set of data down here to explain why it is better and how does it break down. Really, really nice examples here. It's no surprise that these are much more engaging than the retirement calculator that we were looking at.
Can you click on advanced settings there? What does that do?
This.
Okay, so you can do more complex stuff.
Yep, you can put in more buying information, like if it's a condo, what are the condo fees, buying costs, insurance rate, capital gains exclusion, monthly utilities, 100, that's optimistic. Renter's insurance, rent deposit, 1 month, other marginal tax rate, inflation rate, things like that. So it's making a whole bunch of assumptions on these data, but you can go in and do a more refined experience if you want. So this is a nice model also. Everything that is a core assumption is pulled out of the input forms. They are only asking you for the essential data. If they're making an assumption and pre-populating it, they're pulling it out and putting it into the advanced settings. It's editable. You can go in there and modify it if you want, but you don't have to get an estimate. You can refine this, but you can play to see, is it even feasible, yes or no, before you do that refinement. So that's a nice technique also of pulling out the assumptions or the non-essential fields and only focusing people on what they have to enter. All right, so let's go back to this one, which looks increasingly crappy. And break up into groups. We'll go to about 9:15 or so, so it's just over half an hour. I can step through these different pages if you need to see them, but as a group, think about how might you like to step someone through the experience. We already put up a bunch of different frameworks on here, so as a group you can pick one, generate a new one, modify those however you want, but how are we going to step people through this? start thinking about things like, is any of this assumed that I can just pull out and hide and let people edit if they want to refine it? And is there anything that we can be smarter about pre-populating? Like, if you know what my current income is, shouldn't you be able, where is the, there. If you know my current income and you know how much money I have saved, so you know what my potential interest is, you should be able to pre-populate this, right? You can go to the IRS and look up on their tables what this income is going to pay in federal taxes, and there are tables for looking it up at the state level as well. So something like that, that's an advanced setting. Pre-populate it, don't ask me, let me change it if I want to. You know, we could ask a question, replace that with one question like, what is your state of residence? Or where will, you know, where will you be living or something like that? And it's like California, and so now I can look up certain things. I can look up, you know, maybe we've got data that inflation rate varies state to state. It's different in California than it is in Alabama or something like that. So maybe various data points are variable based on location. So think about how can we relay out the form fields, or how can we substitute a different input mechanism? How can we pull out non-essential stuff? How could we layer in help? How do we want to step people through this? You don't have to solve all of it, but just start thinking at the high level and then just get it, you know, increasingly granular. So start off with a stepping mechanism. Start off with input mechanisms and identifying what might you be able to pull out or regroup. How could you layer in help content or explanatory content? How might you make this more engaging? You know, is there a graph that starts to appear early on? And as we enter data, my summary and my graph begins to change so I can see how the data has an impact on that. So if you don't understand what the financial rules are, the calculations are, don't worry about it. You can just work with what you see on screen. Okay, let's do this in threes. One, two, three, one, two, three, and one group of four. So we'll do three groups. Mix it up, not the arm's length thing. Groups of three, one group of four, because this requires a little bit more brain power than just pairs. So I want to make sure we have at least three people in a group.